Shall we read a little bit from Paul's blog to Ephesians? Chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. Well, it makes sense, actually, because the opening lines are, be careful. Be careful, then, how you live. Not as the unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're also going to read from Psalm 111, verses 1 to 4, and then verse 10. Praise the Lord! I will extol the Lord with all my heart, in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all those who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise.
Thank you, Al. Walking in the way of love. What does that mean to us? You know, last week we finished with the words from the beginning of Ephesians chapter 5. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. You know, what does walking in the way of love look like in our everyday lives and in our community of faith here together? And why does it matter? Yes, it talks about it in the Bible. Maybe that's enough, but why does it matter to us? I don't know about you, but this world breaks my heart every day. You know, we watch or we hear the news. We read the news online as it happens. We see pictures of struggle, of poverty, of disaster. We see pictures of greed, oppression, and abuse. We hear words of hate and racism. Even in our own parliament this week, echoes of what is heard in schoolyards and in our communities. So walking in the way of love is relevant to our world, our nation, in our communities, and even in our own church as we model Christ's love. And today we're going to explore walking in the way of love further through the words found later in Ephesians 5. Now, as with any writing, modern or ancient, paper or online, to understand the text, we need to know about the context, who it was to, why it was written, what were the issues that they were looking at the time. And the letter to the Ephesians was written as a circular letter. Scholars believe that it was sent to small churches in the city of Ephesus and the surrounding region, most likely to Gentiles, those who weren't Jews. Ephesus was a large city of about 250,000 people, a Roman city at the time, a strategic, cultural and commercial centre, as well as a religious centre because there were large imposing temples there like Apollo and Artemis. Most scholars agree that it was probably not written by Paul. The author is likely to have come from what they call the Pauline school, with the author or authors likely to have known Paul and been very familiar with his writings. And as was common and also reasonable at the time, this letter was written under Paul's name to give it credibility and authority. It was written as a letter of encouragement and practical advice, with the theme of Jews and Gentiles brought together as part of one body in Christ, unity in Christ. And there's a sense of you-too-ness, that's Y-O-U-T-double-O-ness about it. It abolishes any cultural, gender, or religious divides. For now in Christ, we are one. The unbridgeable gap has been bridged, and hence we care for each other as God cares for us. The first few chapters lay this theological foundation and reflection for us, and the rest is an ethic. So how do we now live? So verse 15 opens with the words, "Be very careful then how you live." Whenever we see "then" or "therefore," we need to go back and see what precedes it. It's so knowing all this, or consequently. Now, just before this, the author has been writing about forsaking the darkness of the old life and living as light in the Lord, forsaking darkness, living in the light, describing the church's way in the contrast to the world's way and the threat the world is to the way of living in the light. So knowing all this, be careful how you live. The Greek word here for live is peripateta. It actually means walk. It's from peri, the prefix, where we get about, around, concerning, like in our English words, periscope, perimeter, and the verb pateo, which is to tread. So it's to tread around or about. Now, I hope you're really impressed with that, because I've done a whole year of Greek to bring you that. But it's the same Greek verb in walk in the way of love at the beginning of the chapter. And quite a few versions have translated it as live because it recognised that it has this wider meaning in the context that we find it. And what's more, it's in the imperative. It's a directive. It's a command. It's not, "so be very careful then how you live or walk." It's, "so be very careful then how you live." In the next verse, we find making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Now, making the most of is one Greek word that means to purchase or to buy back or to redeem. And in a sense, it's buying up the opportunity. It's snapping up the bargains that are available. Now, I confess, I like a bargain. And at the end of last week, I received an email from a particular store about a sale. So I dropped in and bought some clothes. Now, I hadn't been home, and later that day I get a text from hubby Craig saying, "Just checking, did you go to said store this morning?" I reply, "You know all my secrets, don't you? Everything was $20. And Craig replies, so that's five things. No secrets in our place. I was snapping up bargains. This is making the most of the opportunity, except here in this verse, it's about being stewards of time, with time being God's commodity, time as God's given opportunity. And why? Because the days are evil. We see evil in the world around us, and so we invest our energy in worthwhile occupations. We steward our time and our opportunities well. Now, in these verses, we have three groups of three. We have three not buts. We'll see what they are in a moment. Three types of music and three ways to participate in worship. The three not buts. We have don't live as unwise, but as wise. Don't be foolish, but understand God's will. Don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Contrasting wise and unwise is common in the wisdom material and what was known as the scriptures at the time. Wisdom was understood to begin with knowledge of God, not as an intellectual achievement, but an attitude towards life. Wisdom in the Old Testament is an outlook that enables a believer in God to face life, to make sense of its enigmas and surmount its problems. Don't be foolish, but understand God's will. The will of God is the path to wise living. The will of God is living in the light. And it's in fellowship with God. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery and disrupts fellowship with God. You know, drunkenness takes over our minds. It limits the ability to reason and to think. And debauchery in some senses could be seen to be any excess that leads to loss of self-control. So these words are along the lines of, don't fill your body and mind with stuff that limits our capacity to connect with God and others. But be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit is better than wine. The Spirit can lift us above the depression and the monotony of life. Be filled is in the present continuous tense. Why is that important? It's not a once-for-all experience, but it's a continuing experience in our lives. So we're to leave our lives open to be filled constantly and repeatedly by the divine Spirit. So the Spirit fills our hearts and lives, our minds and our imaginations. So we've looked at the three not buts. There are also three types of music mentioned, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. Here we get this glimpse of the worship practice of the early church. Singing is an important part of Christian worship and building up the church. There is evidence of some of the early Christian hymns in this letter. There's one found just in verse 14, just before this. And there is an understanding that songs continue to be inspired by the Spirit. In fact, every new movement of the Spirit in the church's history has brought a fresh outburst of song. And finally, we have these three ways to participate in worship, or three expressions or evidences of the Spirit in our lives: speaking to one another with psalms, hymns and songs of the Spirit, singing and making music from your heart to the Lord, and always giving thanks to God for everything. You know, one of the expressions of being in the Spirit is song and praise, and that's not just lip service, but that's actually from the heart. The literal Greek is making melody in the heart of you to the Lord. This is about authenticity, not a particular style or response. Now, when we were first married in the 80s, and we've just dated ourselves, we attended a church that was rather loud and exuberant in its worship. And I love that. I join in readily in worship with expression. I raise my hands. I get lost in worship. Craig, not so much. And I have his permission to share this. A few years ago, Craig said that he missed that worship, and I was rather surprised. Craig missed it? He barely raised his hands. I didn't think he was even participating. Then Craig said something that stuck with me. You don't have to join in to participate. Participation can simply be by being present. You know, we're not to judge how others participate in worship, nor are we to judge worship by its style or the songs that are sung. We can sing aloud or we can sing in our hearts. Worship is deeply personal. Sing and make music from the heart. And part of that worship is to give thanks to God. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks or gratitude generates contentment. You know, how often do we think I'll be happy when I have a bigger house, a new car, a great holiday, a better job, the kids or the grandkids do as I ask? But gratitude generates contentment, so we don't want all the time, or we don't think I'll be happy when. Gratitude actually generates good health. Research shows that people who practice gratitude have stronger immune systems, lower blood pressure, more positive emotions, more joy, optimism, and happiness. They're more generous, show more compassion, and feel less lonely and isolated. And gratitude generates generosity, and we see that in Acts 2, when the early church shared everything in abundance. When we're grateful, we're more likely to give to others. As we live out our faith by serving others, this is also an expression of our thanks to God. And gratitude generates faith. When we're grateful, we thank God. The more we thank, the more we pray, builds up our faith. The more we pray, the more we see God as God is, and others and the world with God's perspective. About 7 years ago, the small group that we led at our last church, and we just left about 2 or 3 weeks ago, started a habit of beginning our time together with what we're thankful for. To start our weekly time together thankfully. And over many years, we've only had a couple of passes, even though we've had some of us with really difficult journeys, including depression and health struggles. And 4 years ago, we lost one of our members at 47 quite suddenly. And, you know, starting with what we're thankful for was even more crucial amongst our grief. And we know, because they're still sharing with it, as we've left that group, they're continuing to start each Sunday night with what they're thankful for. Gratitude generates faith. And it generates gratitude. It's infectious. It multiplies. The sociologist George Simmel writes that gratitude encourages not only to appreciate gifts, but to repay them or pay them forward. He calls it the moral memory of mankind. The moral memory of mankind. We have gratitude for people. We're grateful for the people in our lives. Family members, friends, work colleagues, people in our church. We can't do life alone. And we have gratitude for Jesus. We have so much gratitude for Jesus in our lives. And when I think about why, it's because Jesus is my reason for being and my purpose for living. And my life just doesn't make sense without Jesus in the center of it. We have the incredible privilege of drawing near to God today, tomorrow, and each day. So gratitude spills over to the whole of life's activity. It sort of turns worship into an everyday experience. If you don't want your garden to grow weeds, keep it stocked with strong, sturdy flowers and shrubs. And it's the same with our hearts and minds. Keep them stocked with wise and thankful practices and words. So we've considered parts of walking in the way of love in these verses. Now, I'm a Generation X. I like summaries and dot points. And I've summarised these verses, but before we put it up, I do acknowledge that this is the way that I see it and that others might like all the words as they are, but I just love to get it down to something smaller. So this is my summary of Ephesians 5, 15 to 20, walking in the way of love. Be careful how you walk or live. Make the most of every opportunity, not unwise but wise, not foolish but understand God's will, not drunk on wine but be filled with the Spirit, and being filled with the Spirit is speaking to each other, singing in praise and giving thanks. In these verses we have both a challenge to contemporary society and a rebuke of it. There is an assumption that it's possible to live the full Christian life in the context of the world. This is not about withdrawing from the world around us. Walking in wisdom involves the right use of time, seeing every day and hour as an opportunity to serve God, understanding what God's will is, and getting on and doing it. But it's not an obsessive lifestyle. We need to remember how to rest and to know God's peace in our lives as well. And we use all the resources of the Christian tradition, poems and pictures and liturgies and hymns and songs, to let the Spirit fill our minds and our hearts. Be filled with the Spirit. Allow the Spirit to be fully active in your lives. And perhaps what that looks like is something that you could talk about in your Connect groups this week. We give thanks to God in everything. And I don't think that means to give thanks for all the tough stuff in our lives, but rather to thank God for God's presence in that tough stuff. We are not alone. We give thanks to God, to each other, and to others. How will you express thanks this week? To God. In prayer. Maybe journaling. to each other. Words, notes, attitude, actions, and to others at the shops, people we see or work with, and our families. Giving thanks connects us to God, to each other, and to others. And it's part of our walking in the way of love. Let's pray together. Father, Creator God, we give thanks to you for everything, for being present with us in all our circumstances. Thank you for your love, your amazing grace, and for the hope and peace that we can know in you. Loving God, we're sorry for when we're not wise, when we don't seek your will or make the most of our time, for when we're not thankful. Thank you that through Jesus' death on the cross, that these things and all our sins are forgiven. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being the example of walking in the way of love for us. Help us to be open to the Spirit each day, to be filled with the Spirit, and to worship from the heart. Holy Spirit, lead us in our thankfulness to God, each other, and others. Help us to express our thanks and to walk in the way of love together. Lord God, how sweet the sound is your amazing grace. Thank you that we were once lost, but now we're found. We were blind, but now we see. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.